Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. All right, you guys may get ready to have your seats. Let's give our worship team a round of applause to the atmosphere for us. We only got two more weeks, guys, for our Summer of Love. Our Summer of Love experience. And we're so excited about what God is doing. Some major doors have been opening up for some of our people. And we're excited about that because we're going to be sharing tonight, or today rather, on what God has been doing in some of the people in our house. Yesterday we had Serve Day here at Hungry for God. And it was amazing, amazing, amazing. We were able to bless over 200 families in Brownsville community with school supplies, book bags. Come on, God is good, amen. And just like how sometimes when people are going through things, they question whether or not God is good or God is real or God loves them. And that's why we want to be his hands, his feet, his body, because it's our duty to make sure no one in our community will ever question the goodness of God. You see, because God uses us to reveal his love and reveal his goodness. Amen? So we have to continue to serve people. And we're serving them because we want people to know that despite of what you've done or despite of where you have been, what mistakes you've made in the past, God still loves you and his goodness is directed towards you. Amen. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about what God is doing in H4G, but this time we decided to do a little something differently. The past few weeks we've been inviting outside influencers, and we wanted to share our stage and our platform so that they can talk about what God has been doing in their lives uniquely, whatever mission, whatever specific field or niche of expertise they've been in. But this time, we're going to honor some people in our house that's also doing awesome things. Amen? So at this time, we're going to call forth a few of our people. We're going to ask Bianca King to come forward. We're going to ask Shanique Samuel to come forward. We're going to ask Gary Bannister to come forward. Amen. Amen.
Guys.
God bless you. Amen. All right. You guys ready? You guys ready? Now, the purpose of our fireside chats have been in the past. Again, we're going to do a little interview questionnaire, and we want to know a little bit more about how God has been using people to step outside of the four walls of the church to do his work. And one of the things that we've been stressing here at H4G during our Summer of Love series is that ministry is not necessarily always on the pulpit. Ministry is not always what happens, thank you, in the four walls of the church. But I really believe the day and hour has come for the church to really wake up to calling, their callings, which is to not necessarily, not everybody's going to preach, not everyone's going to pastor, and we've kind of reduced ministry just to what we see inside of the church. And I really believe that anything that God has divinely ordained you to do, whether it is education, whether it is communication, media, we learned also about the Seven Mountain Mandate during this session, that God has called each and every one of us to uniquely serve in society in a way that is anointed, in a way that is blessed, in a way that has kingdom potential and possibilities. You know, the Bible says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so that's not going to happen only by coming into the church to preach, because not everybody's coming to the church to hear the gospel. So we have to go out with AR, and we are able to creatively and through strategies find ways to introduce people to Christ. Amen? And so We have, again, three of our very own, so we're going to allow them to just introduce themselves to us. Now, H4G, again, we have so many, you know, talented and gifted people here, and I chose these three voices significantly for several reasons. And one of them, each and every one of them, again, is creating their own lane in different capacities. And they've been doing work for some time. And they didn't just get started doing this. They've been working and serving in different capacities for years. And so we're going to do this. So I want them to introduce themselves, what they do uniquely outside of the four walls of the church. And we're going to go a little deeper in here. So let's start with Gary. The ladies went first the last few fireside chats. So we're going to allow Gary to start this time.
How you doing, everyone? My name is Gary Bannister. My company is Valeria Interiors and Design, LLC. It's a construction company, design build. I'm not an architect, but if you need advice along the interior design and so on, I'm the guy you need to talk to. Whenever those DIY projects go south, when you watch too much of HGTV, I'm the guy you need to go on. No, but I've been pretty much in construction business for the past 25 years or so. My company is fairly new. This company is fairly new. It's like 6 months, but I've been into construction for the past 25 years. So, like I said, I'm your guy. If you need any construction.
That's right. All right. Next.
Good afternoon, Shanique Samuel. I have two hearts, if that's possible. Well, not two hearts, but two things that I'm really, really, really passionate about. So the first one is I started Becoming the One a few years ago, so maybe I'm going into my fourth year with that ministry. But even before it became Becoming the One, it was True Love Waits. And that was, I guess I started that when I first got married, so about 7 years ago. So just basically, after I had gotten married, and Vernell, my husband was, pastor was teaching the Monday night Bible study even before we became a church, I just began to see how relationships just begin to blossom within the ministry. And people really had a desire to do or to court and to get into relationships the godly way. Like, they really desired to do things God's way. And I just began to talk to Vernell, and I just began to think about, like, even before we met, and even including our courting journey, all the things that I didn't know, all the mistakes that I made, and I really wanted to be a voice, and I really wanted to mentor and help other young couples just, you know, if we are more transparent and if we tell our stories, those that are coming after us or behind us, they will avoid a lot of the mistakes that we made. So that is where Becoming the One sort of was birthed from, the mistakes that I made, and wanting to see the next generation really thrive in their marriages. So that's that. And then the other thing that I've not recently started, I've been in education for maybe 15, 16 years in various capacities. But as a teacher and being in the Board of Education, so seeing things sort of every day, there is a huge void, especially when we look at the disparities of education with urban children, especially when we look at just our communities, many communities in Brooklyn. Brownsville is one of the communities that is, I mean, the achievement gap is so wide. They're definitely one of the communities that is really, really struggling in literacy. And everyone knows if you can't read, it's really hard for you to do a lot of other things. So one of my passions is really advocating for parents. So I began to form a group called Teachers for Parents, which is under our H4G umbrella, one of the things that is being birthed out of the ministry. And Teachers for Parents is just basically educators, teachers, being able to sit down with parents and being able to help them advocate for their children, help them have a voice. Many times, especially when you work in urban schools, there's this assumption that our parents just don't care. And that's an assumption because it's not that they don't care, they just don't know how. They don't have the tools, or they have the tools, but they don't even know how to use the tools that they have, which is their voice. So what I want to do is, and what I've started to do is develop various workshops for parents, talking, you know, anywhere from students with special needs. A lot of times, those students, that particular population, is really shafted, and parents don't know that there's so many resources out there, and there's so many things that they can do to advocate for their child. So I'm just a voice in the city, and I'm really looking forward to what God is doing through me and through the ministry.
Awesome. All right.
Hey, guys. My name is Bianca King, a.k.a. BKing the CEO. And first and foremost, I have an organization that I'm the CEO of called Women Under One Roof. And it actually started in 2003, right? And that's like when everything was being written down and like small ideas. Like I would just like invite a bunch of girls out to a restaurant and we'll talk and things of that nature. But I didn't know that it was going to be what it is today. But I grew up in a household with all West Indian women. And you know, we have a lot of West Indians in here, so maybe you guys can relate, but they were very sheltered as far as their experiences, and, like, they didn't really know how to explain certain things as far as, like, your journey. Like, my mother would say, oh, don't bring no babies here home. So if I had a baby, I'm like, where am I going to bring this baby? You know, that's how she explained sex to me. It wasn't like, you know, let me sit you down and talk to you about it. It was just like, don't bring no babies in my house. So I realized that there was a disconnect as far as, you know, the older generation. Like, the Bible talks about it, the older woman leading the younger, right? So we have a responsibility to pass the torch, and that was really on my heart. So we have a mentorship program for young girls in Brooklyn, ages 13 to 17, where we help them with life's journey and, you know, answer some of the questions that they have. Like, these young girls go through a lot of things bigger than we know. Like, some of the stories they tell me, I'm like, I've never even experienced that myself. And so they need an ear, they need someone to guide them. And so we started that under Women Under One Roof. But the gist of the actual organization, Under One Roof, is basically a concept that says we need to come together. And while we're under one roof, we can do amazing things. I know you guys watch reality TV, right? And you see every time they walk up into a club or into a restaurant, they're throwing drinks, they're arguing. It's always some type of contention. That's not really how we act, right? So they see it on TV, the young girls, they want to do this, they want to be this, and we have to show them differently, that there are young black women actually doing their thing, CEOs of companies, graduating with degrees, working great jobs, and so we want to put that back on display. And that is what I do.
All right. So we're going to, so we got construction, / the interior designing, we have education and relationships, and we have women empowerment, right? Three different niches of fields. So you guys all started something. Now, I started a church, right? So I started something as well. And along with starting something, as exciting and exhilarating as that process is, it's also extremely challenging. And for many times, people don't realize, and some of you maybe who also started something can relate, maybe about every month you might feel like quitting and giving up on what you started. So people don't know, there's times when I feel like, Lord, should I be doing this? You question whether or not you should pursue the passion that you have. And seek a more safer route, a more traditional route. So starting something is not easy because sometimes it's a very lonely process. How can some of you guys, in your own, have you guys ever faced any challenges and along the way where you feel like giving up? And if so, how does that process look like for you to keep going?
Well, for me, I think on a daily basis, I think about giving up. Really. I mean, construction industry is no joke, man. And,
especially,
you know,
New York.
Yeah, especially in New York. And every day you're faced with challenges, you know, be it clients that don't want to pay, and man, the list goes on. So every day you think about giving up. Why did I really do this? I mean, I can do other things other than construction and things that I'm sure it's a safer route, but construction is something that I love also. And I think is the love of construction that keeps me going. I love the creativity. I love taking something from nothing and turning it into something. And, you know, so I think that's one of the things that really keeps me going. But you know, throughout everything, man, you just gotta stay strong, stay committed to God, because sometimes it's really testing, and it really tests your faith also. Right, but you just gotta stay strong to yourself, stay strong to God, and look at the bigger picture, because every time you think you're going through something, the key word is going through. So meaning that you're expecting something favorable on the other side of what you're going through.
Wow. Right? So your commitment and your trust to God is an extremely important part to getting through those rough times.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Because I can recall, like, about 3 years ago, I had two major projects, multi-million dollar projects. And trusting the wrong people, you know, things just went south. And it was a wake-up call for me, too, because know that, okay, you can't rely on certain people to do certain things for you. You have to take that initiative and do what you have to do as an individual, as a business owner, and everything. So, yeah, but you just got to trust God throughout it, because I was at the lowest of lows, man. And you said something early on that you know, sometimes in your down days, you don't want to praise. But that's the time you really have to push through and give Him praise, because, man, it's you got to keep God at the center of it all, period.
Anybody wants to add to that? It's good. Powerful words of experience. Amen.
I can definitely say when you're building a ministry or you're starting a business, especially the world that we live in with social media, sometimes you may look to your left and look to your right and say, wow, I've been doing this for a while, and my ministry isn't thriving, or my business isn't thriving is you know, as good as this individual. But you can't allow that. That's what I've learned. Like, with God, the vision, and whatever God has given you, He has a group of people, or whomever He has assigned to your ministry is for you. So you can't, don't be discouraged by that. You have to just keep pushing and keep moving forward. And during those times where you do feel discouraged, even David said he had to encourage himself. Sometimes you won't receive one word of encouragement from anybody, your family, from no one. And sometimes you feel so alone, and you begin to question, and you begin to ask God, like, God, is this? I had that moment recently. And I'm like, God, I know you told me to do this. It, you know, has the grace for this lifted? Am I still supposed to be moving in this lane? And He'll bring someone to just confirm, like, wow, your ministry has really helped me. It's really shaped my life. You have no idea. And even if you reach one, even if it's just that one, it doesn't matter. That's the one that God has given to you, that He's given you responsibility over. So, like I always say, just keep dancing as if no one is looking, and keep doing your best, even when no one is looking. Keep put your best foot forward, even when you have a small crowd, when you have a big crowd. God wants to see that we can be faithful over the little before He can bless us with the big. And heart is everything. You've got to check your heart. I'm moving away from what you asked, but you've got to check your heart. Like, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for the right reason? Is this what God has assigned? Is this what he wants me to do, right? And when you know that you know that you know that God has called you to something, don't be discouraged. God is going to bless you. So.
That's right. And I just want to add to that because that is an extremely important part as to give you that motivation to keep going. Like, why am I doing this? Like, I found that if your why is not big enough, then the what's become too hard for you. When the whys are not big enough, then whatever comes before you, if the why has to be greater than the what. So the motive behind what you do should be greater than the challenge that comes. And more than likely, if that's not the truth, like, money is a very, very deceitful motivator. Because you might say, I want to get a job because it makes a lot of money. Then you get a job and you're like, I hate this job. You're miserable. Money is not a great motivator. Money is not something that's what the Bible says, seek the kingdom first. Everything else will be added, because once you have a greater motivation, the kingdom of God, if this is a motivation for you, for example, it doesn't matter. You can get paid a dollar, paid $1 million, and you do the same quality of work, because it's not about the money. It's about the kingdom. You can't even want to add.
I guess I'll quickly say that one of the things that helped me in my lowest moments was running to my core. Like, you have to have that support system that's around you. Like Shanique said, it may not be the masses, or it may not be the people that you expect. Like, at my book release, nobody in my mother's family showed up. Nobody. And that was really hard for me. Like, it was really, really hard. And in, conversation afterward, it's just like, your head is in the clouds and you need to come down a little bit. People sometimes are intimidated by the things that you do and by your success and your greatness. And it's something that you have to, bite the bullet. And of course it hurt, but it cannot stop you from what God has over your life, because it's bigger than what you imagine. If you see, like, for instance, online, when you see the celebrities and they have trolls for days, I don't even know how they do it. People talk about everything from their teeth to what they wear, to why she looked like that. And you have to have tough skin. Like, you have to have tough skin. And Brother Gary said it, look at the big picture. Like, what are the promises of God over your life? Like, what is God saying? Can you shut out all those naysayers that say that you can't do it, or you're not, you're not what God says that you are? You have to know. You have to know. You have to know. It's one thing to believe it, but you got to know. Like, this is it. This is it. You'll have your moments, but that no is going to come back to you and say, I know what God said about me. I know what he said. I know that I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, I know this. I know it. And you have to know it, because other people are not going to believe that about you.
Good. So you mentioned about not having the support from your family. One of my favorite passages of scripture is when Jesus, the Bible says, when Jesus went back to his hometown. And when he came there, no one wanted to believe in him. And the Bible says that he could work. He just came back from a revival somewhere else. Then he comes back home, and then they didn't receive him. And then he went and he told his followers, a prophet is not received in his hometown. And that comforted me to know that, hey, if this is Jesus who started something, and this is God in the flesh, and here it is, he comes back home to share with his family in his hometown the good things he's doing somewhere else, and he didn't even get that same welcome. And so for me, I take note of that. I had an epiphany a few years ago when the Lord told me, I prayed about that, and he said to me, sometimes it's not that they just don't want to believe in you, people that's around you, or that knows you very well, the people that are closest to you. Sometimes, what if God actually allows people to resist us so that it can truly challenge us to see, do you really want to do this? See, sometimes you need that adversity early on. And if you can get over that, you can get over anything. Because if you can get over not family or close friends not supporting you, if you can get over that hurdle, this is what I had to learn, then it doesn't matter who else. There's no other people you want approval more from than those closest to you. But if you can succeed without their approval and without their permission, then it's only a matter of time, number one, they come back and they honor and recognize you because they did that with Jesus. Right?
So they still honor him. They still gonna, you know, everyone is still gonna give him the props and the honor that he's due. But I really believe that sometimes in the early stages, we have to go through these little rough patches, and it truly challenges us to see, do you really want this thing? And success is something that you should want. Like if you're a business owner, you're in education, you want to succeed at what you do. So in your own words, I want you guys to just describe in a short way, what does success look like for you in what you're called to do? Who wants to start first? Yes, sir. All right, good. Because I suppose you.
Yes, my dad was there.
No, dad was there. Dad was there.
Dad, so I can see you.
Yes. Let's make it clear. He was there. I saw him there. Only family can do that. So the question was, what does success look like in your line of work and what your mission and what you guys are called to do?
I think it's a great question, but it's heavy. For me, success is seeing some type of change. My father got tears in my eyes. I cannot. Seeing some type of change within the woman around me. I don't, you know, when people say, oh, I want to go to nations, like I'm cool with going, you know, to other countries, you know, fly me out. But I'm also cool with seeing my community being changed. And even my house, like I told you, I live with all women. Seeing those changes because of what God deposited inside of me is big for me. Seeing my cousins come to God and, you know, changing the way that they live their lives. Like, that's a win for me. And so I think the little things that I deposit, wherever I speak, wherever I go, wherever my book goes, I want to see some type of transformation. I want to see the goal that was given in me. Like, our job is to bring heaven on earth. And so that the little bit of heaven that's in me, or the big heaven that's in me, rather, I want to be able to release it into my community and see the change. So... it's easy to look at the money, it's easy to look at all that, and all that is good, and I believe that God blesses us with that. But seeing the change and the transformation for those around me is very big.
That was good. I'm definitely going to sort of piggyback off of what she said. Success for me means to see my children, my biological children, the children that I gave birth to, greater than me. Doing greater things than me and Vernell. So whatever it is, like, you know, I excel in the area of education. That might not necessarily be Peyton's niche. She may, you know, she loves music, she loves dancing, but whatever it is, the grace that God has given her, I want to see her excel and be great in that. I want to see my son excel and be greater than his father, be greater than his grandfather because of what we, the values and the way we've brought them up. So success for me is to see my children greater than me.
You know, one thing I always ask God is, bless me so I can be a blessing to others. And for me, sometimes on my crew, it could be 2, sometimes up to 32 guys. Depends on the size of the project. And what I always say, you know, I was even sharing this to my wife some time ago, that when you hire someone, you're not just hiring that person, you're hiring their entire family, right? Because if I can deliver on that part, that means the entire family is being affected, because this guy, I can't be this guy, right? So success for me is being able to always come up as an employer, as a man, a and look you in the face and say, hey, look, this is what it is, right? It's not about a monetary thing for me. I know that's gonna come, but success for me is being able to create employment for other people. Yeah. And that's something I hold very dearly to my heart.
And you have been doing that.
I have been doing that.
So I noticed that no one here said success for them is to get, you know, $50 million before they die, $100 billion. Well, then that would be nice.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.